Over the centuries, historians have written volumes about how Christianity spread from the initial 12 to the 2.6 billion Christians in the world today. In the early church, the historians mentioned the centrality of Rome, its roads and its trade routes, as well as a religion that offered salvation for everyone, whether slave or noble. And the growth of Christianity can certainly be attributed to missionaries who traveled to the East, to China, and to India, and then to the West after the discovery of the Americas. I guess in future years, more books will be written about how modern communication, from television to radio and now the internet, have driven the growth of Christianity from the smallest mustard seed to an expansive plant. But as a Catholic theologian, I don't have to look any farther than Jesus Christ. He's the eternal Word and his presence with us in his sacred body and blood. And today, Jesus puts the emphasis on us. Not just bishops, missionaries, and priests, us, his disciples. And Jesus doesn't as much ask anything as he tells us three things. He tells us, you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world, a city on a hill. You are the salt of the earth, Jesus tells his disciples in this Sermon on the Mount, and he tells it to us today. As baptized believers incorporated into the body of Jesus Christ, we are the salt of the earth. Anyone who cooks knows how important salt is. The next time you make red beans and rice, do it without any salted pork or smoked sausage or andouille. Don't add any salt or Tabasco, which is pepper, vinegar, and salt. Even if you add in your trinity of vegetables, it will be as bland as can be. And we don't do bland in South Louisiana. And not only is salt important at adding flavor, but it is necessary to our diets. We can die from a lack of salt because it regulates the fluid balance in our cells. And when someone is sick or dehydrated, one of the first things doctors do is give them an IV with a saline solution. And Christians are the salt of the earth through our charity. And by charity, I don't so much mean giving money, but the active bonds of love between us as members of the body of Christ and how that love then extends to our neighbors. But salt can actually lose its flavor. The chemical bond between sodium and chlorine is one of the strongest in nature, but it can be broken by impurities in salt. The disciples listening to Jesus would have understood this because of all the impurities in the salt from the Dead Sea. And our impurities, our sin, serve to make us bland and tasteless. So we're called to stay salty, and I mean that in the biblical sense. Then Jesus tells us, you are the light of the world. Now this gets a little deeper. Of course, it goes back to the first words that God speaks in Genesis, let there be light. And in John's gospel, the evangelist reflects on that light that comes to be through him was life. And this life was the light of the human race. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And of course, Jesus calls himself the light of the world. And since we are baptized into his life, he rightly tells us that we are the light of the world. And he calls us children of the light. The light is Jesus. And when he shines it on us, we reflect it to others. And we do so when we stay close to Christ our light and reflect the joy and the praise and the peace and the faith and the hope and the charity that comes from the gospel message. And Jesus warns us not to cover that light with the bushel basket of worldliness, materialism, indifference, or sin. We come here to Mass to be enlightened by the Word of God and filled with light by the Blessed Sacrament. And the first reading tells us how our light shall break forth by sharing our bread with the hungry, by sheltering the oppressed and the homeless and not turning back our back on our own. And then the psalmist tells us that the just man is a light in darkness to the upright. The devil hates the light, and sin is usually found in the darkness. And finally, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. In most of the oldest cities of Europe, the largest building in the center of the town is a church. And the same thing happened here in New Orleans when the French founded the city and placed St. Louis Cathedral front and center. And then later, when the Vincentians came here in 1849 to what was then Jefferson City, they eventually built our church, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. It was the tallest building in the city until the Hibernia Bank Tower. And it was built so tall and so high that it would be a visible reminder of God's presence for all to see. And the gold cross on top reflects the sun and invites all people to a place where they can gather to join themselves to Christ in word and sacrament, and then go out to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. It's important that Jesus doesn't tell us to be the salt of the earth or to be the light of the world. He tells us that we already are the salt of the earth and we are the light of the world. The history of the first 2,000 years of the church has been written. We are writing the next chapter.